things really started to go downhill in between her getting married and myself getting married. She just completely stopped talking to me.
How does that work if your maid of honour is not talking to you while you're planning a wedding?
It was traumatic because I'd lost who I considered to be a sister and a best friend.
Unfortunately, some friends do find it hard to be happy for you.
I had my son and she didn't come to the hospital. I didn't have boundaries to know whether I was in toxic friendships or in toxic relationships. How is it that the people that I consider to be closest to me were the ones that were dishing out the worst betrayal?
Hello and welcome to the Unfriended podcast, where we have candid conversations about friendship breakups within female friendships. I'm your host, Miss Daisy, and on each episode, I'll be talking to a variety of guests regarding their unique experiences and journeys through friendship breakups. And today I have Yar with me, who's here to talk about how she had a turbulent relationship with her best friend and how she chose to ignore red flags and hold on to the friendship because it was the Christian thing to do. So before we get into Yar's story, just one last reminder that on this podcast we've dedicated a few episodes to answering your friendship dilemmas. So we'll have a few episodes where I'll have a co-host here with me. We'll just be having some girly chats and answering your friendship dilemmas. So if you do have a friendship dilemma, please email your dilemma to theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. So welcome, Yar, to the Unfriended podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me here.
And thanks so much for sharing your story. I mean, your story really resonated with me, and I definitely think it's something that a lot of people go through. I'm just so glad that you're here to talk about it. So I guess I just want to start from the very, very beginning.
Okay.
So how did you and your friend meet?
So we met at the church fellowship that I used to go to. At the time, I had been going there for a fair few couple of months. I would say between 6 to 9 months. And she came to the church as the partner of another established brother that was already going there. So when she came in, there was a very few number of us that were all the same age.
Yeah.
And so just naturally, I gravitated to her because I already had a friendship with her partner, who's the husband now. And it was like just being welcoming to anyone really who came in, especially because we were in the same age group. So that's how we met.
Okay, so she was like a visitor to your church.
Yeah, at first, yeah.
Okay, and you sort of embraced her because that was your friend's girlfriend,
yeah,
girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
So you said that you kind of took to her, you showed her a lot of warmth. So how did it develop from there?
I guess it developed quite quickly again, because like I said, I already had a friendship with her boyfriend at the time. And there was like a very close-knit group of youth in the church. Well, I wouldn't say youth actually, because we were like 20, 21 at that time, but young adults, should I say. And there was a very small group of us. And so we kind of all gelled together. So there wasn't really like any reason to kind of be apprehensive. It was more like, oh, hi, how are you? And everybody just rolled together. That's just how it was.
Yeah. So how did it sort of develop into now your best friends?
I think it was just the fact that we were always together. We used to have a lot of like things going on in the church. So there were a lot of like activities like prayer meeting, praise and worship practice, which she joined in quite early because she had a really beautiful voice. Mm. And so we just ended up being around each other a lot. And then I think we really started to cement our friendship after our football tournament, our yearly football tournament,
okay.
Which is a tournament where like all the churches in the fellowship come together and we basically play football the whole day. It's like a knockout situation where, you know, if your team loses, then you go home. And just spending the whole day together, we just became really close. And at that time, she was getting ready to go to university in Bristol. And so we just developed a friendship from there. And yeah, that's basically how it was.
Okay. So she went to uni, and then was it a situation where like you'd visit her, she'll come visit you? Like, did the friendship sort of still grow even though she sort of, because you're in London at this time?
Yeah, yeah.
She goes to uni in Bristol.
Yeah.
And the friendship just carries on.
Yeah. So we would always be in communication with each other, either on the phone or through text message. But because she was now a part of the church, she would try and her best to come down as often as possible.
Yeah.
One, so she could be in the church, and also two, because she was still sort of dating her boyfriend at the time.
Mm.
So she wanted to keep in contact with him. And I guess the other reason why our friendship progressed quite quickly and we became really close was because when she did come down, she would actually stay at my house with me and my son.
Okay.
And she would very rarely go home to her mum's house. She would spend a lot of time with me. And so when she was down from Bristol, she would stay at my house for like days or weeks at a time, and then she would go back to Bristol. She was with me pretty much all the time.
Okay, I know she's only coming down for a few days here and then, like weeks. How was that like? Because you've met her at church, and now she's kind of like pretty much staying at your house. I'm guessing staying overnight.
Yeah.
So how was that sort of experience?
It was fine. We didn't really have any issues. I feel like we gelled really closely together. Yeah. We always had a laugh. We were always encouraging each other. I feel like we genuinely built up a love for each other. And she also built up a genuine love for my son as well. So it was like, there wasn't any issues. I didn't have anything to really worry about. And because, again, in that church setting, I didn't feel like I needed to be apprehensive about, you know, being around her or her being in my home or whatever, because at that time it was like, this is just what we do. Do you get what I mean? And I genuinely enjoyed her company. So there wasn't really any issues at that time.
Okay. So from when you met her until like she's your friend and she's staying at yours, how long was the friendship from when you met her to that point?
It's hard to say because it's such a long time ago. I feel like time has just gone, but it was probably like within the space of a year. Okay. Because I remember when she came to the church, it was only a couple of months later that she actually started uni in Bristol, which was around September, October.
Yeah.
And she'd only been in the church for maybe a couple of months. So I would say it was definitely within the year.
Okay. So you're friends for a year. She's staying at your house. Everything's cool. Everything's fun. So when do things start to sort of shift in the friendship? Or when do you start noticing, okay, not all is well in this, would you say it's in this newish friendship?
Do you know what it is? I feel like, again, a lot of the lessons that we learn, I feel, are in hindsight. So at the time, I didn't particularly feel like there were issues that I could pinpoint within our actual friendship.
Yeah.
I would say the issues that I began to notice were more issues that I felt I could see within her own character.
Oh, okay.
And so, for example, we would be cool. We never really fell out or had arguments or had any like disputes within each other. The times that we spent together were always cool. They were always jovial. They were always fun, etc., etc. We confided in each other about everything, and we literally spent a lot of time together because she practically lived with me. And the times that she would be at home, I was always welcome at her house as well.
Okay.
And I formed quite a close friendship or a close relationship with her mum as well.
Okay.
And so it was like we were always together, whether she was at my house or whether I was at her house. So again, between me and her, we didn't have issues like that, but then I would see issues in her personal character and how she dealt with and had issues with other people. So it was like when you're in a friendship or a relationship with someone, it's easy to be like, oh well, they treat other people like this, or they have issues with other people, but they don't have a problem with me. And so you sort of like compartmentalize yourself, thinking you two are cool, you're okay in that friendship, and the issues that she has with other people, it's got nothing really to do with you. So I felt like I was doing that a lot because she frequently had issues with other people, but it was like, oh, that's their issue. That's got nothing to do with me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because I feel like I've been in a situation like that. So can I just ask one question?
Mm-hmm.
So in your friendship, did you find like, say if like she had a falling out with someone, would you come and she'll say to you, hey, I had this situation, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And did you sometimes feel like, actually, I'm siding with the other person, but you can't really say?
Yeah.
Or like, tell me more about those situations.
So I feel like, again, this is such a long time ago, so it's hard to pinpoint like particular things. But I definitely feel that there was an air about her that felt that when she did have these altercations with people, it was always the other person's fault, even though you could tell by listening to the story or even being in a situation. Sometimes you'll see these blobs, like you're literally there. It would always be the other person. It was never her.
Yeah.
And there were situations, there was a particular situation, again, not necessarily to do with somebody else, but just like character issues. So one example, again, this is within a year of us kind of all getting into the church. It was coming up to our first banquet, which again, the banquet is like a celebration that we have around Christmas time, where everybody dresses up, we have food, we have games, and there's a talent show and all these different things. But really it's just to celebrate Christmas. And so this was our first banquet since all of us were in the church. So everybody was really excited. Everybody was like getting dresses, going out to buy, you know, outfits, makeup, just really excited for the festivities. So everybody was kind of like ready, everyone had their dresses, etc. But I think she had ordered a dress from a website and she was waiting for the dress to arrive.
Yeah.
And at this time she was staying at my house, and at this time there wasn't really such thing as next day delivery. Okay. This is old school. So if you order something on a website, you'll be waiting like 5 days before it gets to you. So if you don't order it in time, it's just not coming.
Yeah.
So she ordered it quite late. It was quite close to the banquet. And I think it was coming towards the weekend. So you know, Saturday and Sunday, it's not coming. And I remember her just having like a bit of a meltdown, like almost like a childish tantrum where she was literally angry and shouting because her dress hadn't come yet. And it kind of like spiraled into, I'm upset and I'm angry at God because why would God do this to me? Everybody's got their dress and I don't have a dress. And I was so taken aback because I'd never seen that sort of behavior before. It was a bit like, okay, first of all, God isn't involved in the lateness of you ordering your dress. And he's definitely not involved in, he's not in control of how quickly it gets to you because it's just not even, it's not even relative.
Yeah.
So to see her attribute the fact that her dress hadn't come and her throwing this tantrum and shouting and screaming, I'm so angry at God, it was a bit disturbing. But again, it was like, as a friend and someone who I considered at this point, like someone who's really close to me, it's like I was kind of encouraging her and like in a way rebuking her, but just really gently, like, you know what, it's not that deep, it's okay. But it's like she would not, when she's in that state of frenzy, she doesn't listen to reason, she's screaming, and you kind of just have to leave her and just allow her to just do what she's doing, because she doesn't really, she didn't really listen to anybody when they were trying to correct her. So you just get into that habit of when she's having a moment,
give her that,
just give her that room and just leave her alone. So that's the kind of pattern that we ended up going into.
Okay, so you're saying that the shifts that you saw wasn't necessarily like things were happening in your friendship, you started to see just things in her and that maybe the way she would deal with people. But because it wasn't directly impacting you, it didn't really impact the friendship in that way.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So did it ever kind of cross over to you after a while?
To be honest, I feel like it took a long while. And even if they were like issues, they were like little skirmishes, they weren't deep enough for it to really impact the friendship. It would be like, oh, well, you irritated me. Well, you irritated me. Okay, cool. We're friends again now. It was never anything that deep that really rocked the friendship to the point where we didn't speak. We was always, we were just always cool. So there was nothing really for me to feel like, oh, this is becoming a pattern. Generally speaking, our friendship was quite solid, regardless of whether she was in London or not, or whether there were things that might come up or not. They were always resolved quite quickly, and we would always be able to resolve things. So again, there wasn't anything for me to really draw back and be like, oh, this is an issue. It was always with her and someone else, or me just looking at things that she kind of did in her own personal life that made me think this isn't really right. But again, because it didn't affect me personally, I just kept a lid on it all, kind of thing.
So you mentioned that it took a long while for there to be that sort of turbulent. So it's like little things here and there. When would you say it really sort of built up and peaked now that you need to, okay, I need to address this?
Think things really started to go downhill and sort of awry in between her getting married and myself getting married. So she got married first to her boyfriend who she came to church with, and around her wedding planning and her wedding in general, her behavior that most people are kind of used to in terms of the tantrums, the outbursts, all of those things, it was kind of like times 100, because I'm assuming the pressures of wedding, you know, organizing a wedding, etc., it really went off the scale. And me trying to be the understanding friend, I didn't take a lot of the things that she was doing with, like, throughout the wedding process to heart. I just tried my best to be there for her, essentially. And so there was a lot of things that really irritated me and really irked my spirit during that time of her wedding, and I just let it go. And then kind of after the wedding was kind of over and they were married now, it kind of went back to normal. I didn't really bring up, this is how I felt during your wedding process, this is how you made me feel during your wedding process. It was like, you know what, it's cool. I just put it down to, you know, you're stressed out, you know, you're just going through the motions of, you know, wedding stress and planning. I'm going to put that to one side and I'm just going to let it go. So I didn't really address anything.
Were you part of the wedding?
Yeah, I was her maid of honor.
Oh, wow.
I think so. Anyway, there was maid of honor, matron, maid of honor. Yes, because I wasn't married yet. So I think that's how it works. The matron is someone who's married and your maid. Yeah. So I was a maid of honor. Yeah.
So you were quite close to some of the like blow ups and stuff like
that. Yeah, I was in the middle of everything.
Yeah, it's hard with wedding planning because you've got to let a lot of things slide because it is really stressful.
Yeah, it is.
So you said that, okay, so during her sort of wedding season, a lot of stress, and you didn't address things because you're like, look, this is her moment. I want her to get through this and be happy with her wedding. And then you said literally when she got married, I'm guessing things went back to normal because yeah. the stress was done.
Mm-hmm.
But you felt like, okay, there's no point addressing it because yeah. it was
it's over now. Yeah, yeah.
It's done now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. Exactly.
So then you mentioned your wedding now.
Yeah. So during the time that she was married, around that time, I started seeing someone. And so it was kind of like, again, it kind of evolved our friendship to the next level, in the sense that now it's not just me and her anymore. It's me, her and her husband, and then the person that I was dating at the time. And so it was like our friendship evolved into us being like a sort of
group. Yeah.
So again, like even though we were already like considered best friends at that time, I would say because now we were both like in sort of partnerships, the friendship got that much deeper, because it was like we're really rolling together. And when she has issues or she's got things going on, she's coming to speak to me, and then when I've got issues, I'm coming to speak to her. So it kind of like it grew layers, if that made sense, to our friendship. So we were really close now.
All right, so then you got really close, and then you get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Did that sort of shift the friendship?
I'm not sure if it shifted immediately, but definitely after I did get engaged and we actually started planning a wedding, I did start to see a lot of things that were sort of alarming, because as I said, at this point, we had probably been friends for about, I would say about 4 years.
Okay, that's quite
so this
quite,
is four quite years long. Deep now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's about 4 to 5 years of friendship now. So we are like super close. We're practically inseparable. And even after she got married, we were still inseparable. So when I got engaged, we were like, okay, cool. We want to get married at X time or X date. So we were kind of like, okay, cool. Let's just get everything going. And then I remember us coming together. We were like, okay, cool. Let's have a meeting. So me and my partner went to her house, her and her husband's house. And I remember us sitting down and they were like, cool. What do you want to do? What's your budget? Like, what do you want to, like, where do you want to have the wedding, the venue? We're just talking about like the basics. And I remember when we started to actually talk about what we were doing and what we wanted to do, I just felt like everything that we were sharing with them was kind of shut down. Like, oh, you can't do that. Why are you doing that? That's expensive. Why are you going to do that? And it was like, but that's what I want, and we can afford it because this, that and other. I just got a new job recently. I was getting paid quite a lot and he was working as well. So there wasn't really an issue there. So I was kind of like, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, if I'm talking to you about what I want to do for my wedding and I don't have an issue with paying for it, why do you have an issue with me wanting to do that thing? Because technically it's got nothing to do with you in that regard, because it's our wedding.
Well, they come from a perspective of like, you know, we've done the whole wedding thing, we've spent money. Was it from that perspective, or did it feel a bit deeper than you guys are just giving us advice from people that have been there?
I feel like it was essentially because we couldn't do this. You can't do it.
Okay.
Because when she was getting married, the dress that she had, the venue that they had, and there was like other things that she wanted to do. Like, for example, she wanted to get like private catering, etc. At the time, they couldn't afford those things. And so she ended up getting a dress that she didn't really want.
Oh, okay.
She, if I remember correctly, she had a ring that she didn't really want. And they ended up getting married in a venue that she didn't want to get married in. But that was their budget. Do you get what I'm saying? And so they had to settle for a wedding that they didn't necessarily want, because that was their budget. And so when we had sat down with them and we're talking to them about what we wanted to do, I feel like in her mind, it was like, well, this sounds like it's going to be better than mine. And so you can't afford that. But it was like, but we can. Do you get what I'm saying? So it wasn't from the perspective of, you know, we've been married and we know what it's like. You don't want to waste money here, there and everywhere. It didn't feel like it was coming from an advice type of place where, you know, we're just advising you. It was more like, you can't do that. You just can't do that.
Like that, or just
I felt like I was getting that sort of energy from both of them, but more so from her. And I just felt that, like, I'm pretty sure, like, even when we left their house, me and my partner were like, that vibe was a bit off. Like,
what was going on there?
I thought it would be like all excitement, like, oh, you're having your wedding here, or you want to do this. Oh, that's so great. But it was just like, just everything, the body language, the way she was talking, it was like she was so dismissive. And it was just like, I thought this would have been like the most exciting time because, again, we're like 4 or 5 years deep into our friendship. You know, we all, like, as females as well, you always envision like each other's wedding, being involved in each other's wedding. So it was like, now that it was my time, I thought that you know, her of all people, especially the standing and the place that she had in my life, that she would be the most excited for me. And it was like, I didn't get that energy at all. So it was really alarming to me. Like, rah, what is that? Like,
wow,
where did that come from?
So did you go with your plans, like the ones that you set out?
Yeah, okay, I did. I did. But you could just tell that it was grating her. Like,
oh my gosh,
the whole process with the wedding and getting the wedding set up, especially because I'd also made her my maid of honor, okay, or matron of honor, in fact, because she was married now. I assumed that she would take on a lot of responsibility in regards to helping me to do or put in place what I wanted to do. And I just felt like she was doing everything begrudgingly. Like, I didn't feel like she had the same energy that I had with her, like with her wedding. And I felt like everything that I asked her to do was almost like, well, this is this and this is that. I just didn't feel like the same love that I gave her during her wedding process was reciprocated. And then as time went on, it just got worse and worse, to the point where she just completely stopped talking to me.
What, during the wedding season?
During the wedding process.
How does that work if your maid of honor is not talking to you while you're planning a wedding?
I have absolutely no idea, but she literally just stopped talking to me completely.
Were you in a place where, look, my wedding's happening, I just need to get on with it?
Yeah, so essentially the people that were around and that were on board were helping me. I was doing a lot of things myself, but she just took a step back and wasn't really involved in anything.
Did she communicate that step back, or you just sort of took the
hit? I just felt it. I just felt it. She didn't say anything to me at all. I just felt it. And it was obvious, because bearing in mind, like I said, we were inseparable. Everybody knew that we were inseparable. She was always with me. We were always together. And it was like, even during this process, when we would go to church, she wouldn't even be around me. She wouldn't be talking to me. She wouldn't be sitting with me. It was almost like, what's gone on? And I think even worse, I was under the impression that because of how close we were, that if there was anything that I had done, or if there was anything that had happened or that had upset her during that process, that she would be able to just speak to me about it. But I just felt like the fact that she wasn't talking to me, and she kind of abandoned her role as the maid of honor helping me plan my wedding, it was really like alarming to me. So I remember speaking to my pastor's wife at the time and just saying to her, like, what's going on with what's going on with her? Like, I don't know what's happened. She hasn't said anything to me. And I think she mentioned that I had offended either her sister or her mom with regards to like organizing shoes or something. But it was like, when she explained to me what had happened or what she had communicated to her, it was so trivial. It was unbelievable. I was kind of like, something so ridiculous, you could have just said to me, like, I wasn't happy with maybe the way you said this or the way you communicated this. Is that what, after like this many years of friendship and at this this pivotal time, that I need you, that you would just disappear? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. And I remember, I think I tried to speak to her about it, but she just wasn't receptive in that way. And so I kind of just continued planning the wedding with other people that were engaged with me and just kind of doing things by myself.
Did she still stay as your maid of honor on the day?
Yeah, she did.
Did she, how was she on the day? Was she all right?
The funny thing is that the day before, she'd been like not speaking to me. So she wasn't really like active. She wasn't really like showing like any sort of interest in the wedding anymore.
Yeah.
But she was still kind of like performing her duty, so to speak, but in a begrudging way.
Yeah.
So for example, when my bridal shower came, you could tell that she didn't want to be there. She had an attitude the whole time. You know, she wasn't really present, but you could tell that she was kind of putting on a front because she was still in the role. And of course, everybody would assume
that, yeah, she's like,
she's supposed to be as happy for me. So she was kind of putting it on, but you could tell that she didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So then when it came to the actual wedding now, it was kind of a similar thing. She hadn't really been, you know, part of the process when it was coming to like dress fittings and stuff like that. She either wouldn't come, or she would come really late, or she would come with an attitude. She wouldn't speak to anyone. And it was just like, what is this behavior? And I assumed that the levels that she was taking it to in terms of not speaking to me and not being engaged, that she was actually going to drop out. I was expecting her to drop out.
So were you sort of waiting for that?
Yeah,
to
I was
happen?
Waiting for her to be like, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. But she didn't. And so the night of the wedding, or the night before the wedding, I remember her, we were all supposed to stay at the hotel together. So all the bridesmaids and the maid of honor, etc., stayed at the hotel together, and all of the groomsmen stayed at the hotel together. And she was the only one that didn't stay. She was just like, oh, I'm not going to stay, but I'm going to come in the morning. But she did come the night before to sort of be like, oh, I'm just going to, And everything that night seemed completely fine.
Mm.
So whereas she wasn't engaged and she wasn't talking to me throughout that whole process, the night before the wedding, she was behaving as if nothing had happened. So she was excited. She seemed excited. She seemed happy for me. Oh, I'm so happy for you. I can't wait for tomorrow. And even at that time, it was a bit confusing, but I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe everything's cool and everything was fine.
Yeah.
The next day of the wedding now, I'm starting to get like vibes that she's doing... She's basically performing the role, but she wasn't, her heart wasn't really in it. But again, this is the wedding day, so I'm not really paying much attention to that.
Yeah, you just have to sort of pull it at the back of your mind.
Yeah, I'm just getting on, I'm just getting on with things.
Yeah.
But I remember on the day of the wedding, you could just tell that she wasn't happy at all. For whatever reason, she was, again, in the roles that she was supposed to play, she was just doing it in a begrudging way. And I remember...
Was it noticeable to others or literally to
you? Yeah, 100%. Everybody noticed it. It wasn't... I think she was trying her best to hide it, but it was obvious to everyone that she wasn't... She didn't want to be involved and she wasn't happy being there.
So can I ask you a question, like a personal question?
Mm-hmm.
So... You mentioned that you when you were like new friends, you mentioned you saw the temper tantrums. You said that you noticed how she was with others.
Mm-hmm.
When you went through the wedding, you noticed that all the blowouts and all of those things. So my question is, I know that's your friend, but with all that was going on, what sort of made you make her your maid of honor? Because that's a huge role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of getting vibes that you wasn't surprised by the behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
So just looking back, like, what made you make her your maid of honor? Like, what made you put her in such a high role, knowing everything that you know and everything that you'd been through?
I think it was obligation. I felt like because of the closeness that we had in our friendship and the fact that everybody knew that we were sort of best friends, it was like, if I didn't pick her, how would that go down? Not necessarily so much with other people, but I knew that if I wanted to choose someone else, it wouldn't go down well. So I think it was one out of obligation and felt like, oh, because she made me her maid of honor, I have to repay the favor or repay the duty, if that's the right word. And I just knew that if I had made anyone else or put anyone else in that role, she would have had a tantrum about it. So it was like, just to kind of keep the peace, so to speak. I didn't even think about it. It was just a given.
Yeah.
Like she always knew she was going to have that role. And in my mind, I always knew that she was going to have that role, regardless of whatever had happened before. It was like, that was it.
Okay, so you have your wedding. It goes well in a sense, the day goes well, but I'm assuming like obviously you're picking up on your friend's vibes. So what happens after you get married?
So during the wedding, again, as I said, she was kind of performing her duties, so to speak, when it came to like making sure my dress was in the right place, etc., just organizing things here and there. But when we got to the reception, you could just tell that her vibe was completely off at this point. It was almost as if she couldn't keep up
the facade
anymore. Yeah. And so she just went completely like out of it. And I remember that she left early as well. Not that she left the wedding early, but I think she left the reception. And I remember her going to sit in the car. To be fair, at the time I didn't even realize. I just realized that she was missing, that from a couple of hours towards the end of the wedding, I didn't see her again. And it was only after the wedding that I came to find that she left the reception and just went to sit in the car. And so it was like, it was kind of like dawning on me, like really and truly, everything that I was kind of feeling in regards to her behavior, her attitude wasn't just in my head, because who leaves their best friend's wedding halfway through the wedding and doesn't show up?
So what, she just sat in the car?
She just sat in the car for the rest of the time.
She didn't leave the premises, she just sat in the car?
She just sat in the car the rest of the time.
Okay.
And so after the wedding, I'm like excited, I'm elated, because in my mind, it was like, as I said before, she got married before me. And so she had already been married, and I felt like the excitement was for me to get married. So all the couple things that you would do and like going out together and staying up late and like doing things together. Like, for example, we'd planned that we would go on holidays together or like trips away together. Those are things that we couldn't do before because I wasn't married yet.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like, oh, well, we're married now. Well, what are we going to do? Yeah, where are we going to go? Yeah. And it was just like complete silence.
Okay.
So after the wedding, I remember we stayed at the hotel another night for our honeymoon, so to speak. And then the next day, I remember messaging her and being like, oh, where are you guys? What are you doing? We're coming back now, sort of thing. And she didn't reply.
Interesting.
So it was literally like, what's going on? So I messaged her again and it was like no response. When I see her, it was just like, oh, hi. Like it was barely anything. Like, again, like if you're comparing what our friendship and our relationship was like before, where we were literally inseparable and we were always together, always talking. It was very stark. Like it was immediately you could tell something was off, but she still hadn't at this point said anything about, you know, why she was behaving that way or why she wasn't talking to me. It was just like, she just completely cut me off.
Oh, wow. So did you, was it another one where you just, you didn't need a conversation. It was just obvious what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would you say that that was the breakup?
Yeah, basically.
So she stopped talking to you. How long was that for? When did you next hear from her?
I would say it was a couple of months because I got married in November. And literally from, as I said, from the time that we actually got married, she didn't speak to me again, pretty much.
So you're going to the same church, you're seeing her, but you're not speaking.
Yeah.
And is there any, sorry, is there any like mutual friend that's like, hey, what's going on with you guys?
Yeah, I think there were definitely mutual friends that would have picked up and been like, what is this about? Like, and try to maybe quell whatever was going on, because again, the level of friendship that we had and the tightness that we had, it was obvious to everyone that we weren't talking or that she wasn't speaking to me. But again, you have to remember kind of what I said in the beginning about this pattern of behavior that she has.
Okay.
And the fact that because she's very, she can be extremely explosive. She throws tantrums and she's very, she can be very rude and very combative when she's speaking to people. A lot of the time people just don't confront her because it's easier to just not, almost
like to avoid it, basically
rattle the cage. Like people would rather just not say anything than to say something can end up in a situation with them themselves. And so I felt like, and I'd put myself in that as well, in that just to keep the peace, so to speak, you just kind of leave her and you don't address maybe her character or her behaviors, just to keep just to keep the peace. And so I felt like now it was me in that situation. That's what other people were doing. It was like, they're not going to address her because they don't want to be in the firing line, or they don't want to have to address, you know, her blow ups. So even though they saw that what she was doing towards me wasn't right, now it was their turn. Okay, we're just not going to say anything.
And you were that person before where you're like,
yeah, exactly.
If things are cool between us, so let me not say anything.
So now the tables are turned on me, where it was like in situations before where maybe I'd seen her have certain behaviors and not really want to confront her. It's not even like, I wouldn't say I never confronted her, because I did address a lot of things, but I mean, you just don't push it to where it's supposed to go, because you almost know this, it's not going to get anywhere. You might mention something, but it's like, you know what, it's just her. And I feel like that's the sort of attitude that everybody had. Oh, you know what, it's just, people were used to her behavior, and so everybody kind of made excuses for it. It was like, oh well, it's just, that's just it. Let it go, it just is what it is. And then the other person, whoever it was that she's in, you know, loggerheads with at the time, I felt like the other person would always be encouraged to be like the bigger person, or, you know, just let it go, because it's just,
that's just how that person,
that's just how that person is. So then you get forced to have to like almost be the maturer one or the bigger person in that situation, because everybody excuses her behavior because nobody wants to deal with it.
It's a tough one, you know, because I know people like that in my own personal life. And like recently, I know of a situation of somebody that everyone, just like, you know, your friend, where everyone says that's just how she is and stuff like that. And I think there was a situation where something happened and I think that person was just like, yeah, but no one's ever told me. Like, everyone's acting like everything's cool. No one's ever confronted me. So I'm thinking everything's cool. I'm not aware. And then I'm like, you know what? She does have a point. Because if everyone's avoiding you, no one's saying anything, that person's thinking it's cool.
It's not a problem. Yeah.
So it is a tough one with that. Just going back to, so you're not talking for months after the wedding. And then just tell me a bit about that.
So, yeah. So after my wedding, she essentially stopped speaking to me, like full stop. We didn't talk anymore. I didn't fully understand what had gone wrong, especially because the issues that were brought up to me through the pastor's wife with regards to the shoes and her sister, etc., I thought that was squashed. Like, again, for me, that was a trivial issue. And as I said before, because I had a close relationship with her mum and her family and her sister, again, it was also something that I felt like, this is really a non-issue, because any of you could have just been like, oh, that wasn't really appropriate, or we didn't feel happy about that. Her mum could have addressed it, her sister could have addressed it, but I felt like in that moment it was something that was blown out of proportion because she wanted to make an excuse for how she was really feeling, if that makes sense. And so it just continued. Do you get what I mean? I felt like she picked something up that she could make a situation out of to mask the fact that she was just not wanting to speak to me for whatever reason that was. And so a few months had gone by, we hadn't been speaking, and it was something that was completely obvious to everybody that was in the church, because everybody had known us to be completely inseparable. And it was like, now we didn't talk at all. We were going to the same church, we were walking past each other, and it was really uncomfortable, to say the least. And it was really heartbreaking as well, because again, I have now stepped into marriage. This is new to me. And so like the little...
You needed your married sister.
Do you get what I mean? It was like I needed her, especially when you first get married, you know, you're getting used to being with another person, living with another person. There are things that I would have wanted to speak to her about. There are things that I would have wanted her to encourage me about, and she just wasn't there. And so fast forward a few months down the line, we had gotten pregnant. And to be honest, I can't fully remember, again, with the timelines, because it's such a long time ago, whether at this point she had already expressed openly that she was having problems conceiving. I can't remember whether I had known this or not, or whether I'd found out afterwards. But if I'm correct in my memory, I found out afterwards. So I remember feeling like, okay, cool. I'm married now and we're not speaking, and I wanted her around. I wanted her to be there, etc. But she wasn't there. And then now that I was pregnant, I felt that gap even more. I felt that, like, I felt her presence not being there even more. And so I felt like, you know what? I'm just going to reach out to her, and I'm going to try and speak to her and try and squash whatever the issue is, because I just want my best friend back. Do you get what I mean? So I remember messaging her and asking her if she would want to meet up, if she was willing to meet up with me. I would come to her house and we could sit down and talk and find out exactly what had gone wrong, because I just wanted her back. I just wanted her back in my life, so to speak. And so that's what I did. She said she was cool. She would allow me to come to her house, and that's what I did. I went down to her house and sat down and spoke to her to try and get to the bottom of whatever it was that she felt was going on.
That's really interesting, like, that, you know, you sort of reached out, and I'm guessing she was receptive. So when you guys sat down, would you say that you were able to sort of reconcile?
It wasn't immediate. I felt like, even though she had said I could come and we could talk, again, her attitude was very much standoffish. She was very dismissive, extremely rude. And it was like, I was just trying to talk to her and really explain to her from my point of view why I felt violated in that situation. And the fact that, you know, when I was getting married, I didn't feel like she was supportive of me. I didn't feel like she was there for me. And I think she had mentioned, you know, that she felt like I was being, you know, a bridezilla, or I was being like difficult to manage, or just being like over demanding with whatever I'd asked her to do. But I remember saying to her, first of all, the kind of friendship that we have, I would have expected that if these are things that you're seeing, you could just pull me up about it. And even so, if you might have forgotten, but when you were getting married, I felt exactly this. What you're describing to me is how I felt. But because I understood the pressure of trying to plan a wedding and trying to get a wedding together, I gave you the benefit of the doubt. And I didn't, like, even though I may have addressed it, I didn't push it to the point where it ended up in me not speaking to you or there being a blow up, because I was just trying my best to be understanding. And so I felt like you should have shown that same grace to me. Do you understand what I mean? I felt like the type of bond that we had, in my mind, there was absolutely no excuse for her to treat me the way that she did, especially to the point where you're literally carrying on and living your life as if I never existed. I just felt like that was too far. And so we're talking about this, we're going kind of back and forth. She's not really taking much ownership over it, and she's really kind of pushing back and being really angry and just really rude, to be honest, to the point where I felt like, did I just come here and waste my time? I don't know exactly what it was that kind of softened the ice, because she kind of kept this up for quite a long time. I remember being there for maybe an hour or two, and she was just really not receptive to anything I was really saying. And then I think I said something to her. I can't remember what it was. It's too far gone now. But I remember saying something to her. I think it might have me just been expressing my emotions and how I felt towards her as a friend and a sister. And I remember her breaking down and just crying. And then she just started to kind of express the fact that, you know what, it wasn't you. Like, if I'm honest, it wasn't you. I know that this was my fault. And, you know, the reason why I treated you that way was because I was jealous of the fact that, you know, you were doing what you wanted to do. And when I was planning my wedding, I wanted to have this type of venue and I wanted to have this type of this and that. And I wasn't able to. But it was like, when you were doing your wedding, everything that you wanted that you got. And I was just unhappy about it. And I remember just listening to her and really feeling like sort of brokenhearted, mainly for her, because it was just like, I'd never looked at our friendship that way. In a sense that if she had something of value, I would always celebrate that with her. Do you understand what I mean? And I never felt like there was any reason for me to be jealous of her. So when she was like dating before me, getting married before me, I never felt like, oh, well, why aren't I getting... Do you get what I mean? I never had that sort of jealousy or animosity towards her. If she was doing something that genuinely made her happy, I was always happy with her. So whenever she was celebrating something, I was always celebrating with her. So to hear her telling me that, you know, now you're in your time of like celebration, I didn't feel like I could celebrate with you because it wasn't me or whatever. I felt like this is really strange.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. I rate her honesty. I feel like just the fact that she's able to say, look, point blank period, this is what it is. And you can go through that, like in friendships where like you're kind of happy for the person, but sad for yourself. And then the way it comes out differently. After she sort of broke down and was really completely honest with you, how did things progress from there?
I didn't take it personally. I sort of felt like, why would you feel that way? Do you get what I mean? I felt more sorry for her. It was just like, we've been tight for so many years. We had such a close bond and a close friendship. Why would you feel that way? I was trying to almost reason with her and try to really make sense of it. And I remember just going to hug her and just saying to her, like, honestly, like, you're like my sister. Like, we're friends, obviously, but I literally see you as like my blood sister. And I don't ever feel like you should ever feel like, oh, because I've got something, that you should feel some type of way, because it's like, it's ours. Do you get what I mean? Like, I just didn't fully understand it. But I remember just hugging her and consoling her and being like, if we're supposed to be close, you should never feel like you have to be jealous of me. Because as far as I'm concerned, whatever's mine is yours. Like, whatever I'm celebrating should be your celebration and vice versa. So it was more I was more consoling her, if I remember correctly. It wasn't more like upset because of what she was saying. It was like, why do you feel this way? So I embraced her when she opened up to me in that way. And I just reassured her that it should never be like that. If we're as close as we say we are and we've got the bond that we've said we've always had, we should never get to this point where we're not talking because one person is almost jealous or upset about what the other person has, because we're to me, I was like, we're a unit. And so I remember we just hugged it out, and she was like, oh, I'm just so sorry. I've missed you so much. Aww. Like, I've missed having you around. I've missed us being able to do stuff together. And I remember her asking like questions like, oh, how's it been anyway? Like, it's been a couple of months now. Like, how's married life been? And it was just almost like nothing happened. It was almost like after we kind of talked it out and hugged it out and cried it out, it was like catching up. Like, what have you been doing? What have you been up to? And we were just talking for hours and hours about like basically the gap that we'd had from each other and where we weren't there. And so I remember like once we'd finished talking, like we were both like, oh, we're so like, we're just so happy, like let's not ever like do that again, like that was so stupid. Like, we're back how it was before, sort of thing. We squashed everything.
Did it feel like nothing happened? Did it feel
It literally felt like nothing had happened. And so it was like she was so happy that I'd come, and she was like, I'm so like she was literally, thank you so much for
reaching out
and actually coming over here, even while I was giving you the most attitude for the last, like for the first hour, like not giving up on me kind of thing. Like, you pushed through and you were understanding. Like, I'm just grateful to you for getting me to that place where I'm able to see like and value the friendship for what it is. And so I remember I'm getting ready to leave, and we hugged it out again, and I was like, oh, by the way, I just wanted to let you know that I'm actually pregnant. I remember her being so happy. She was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. So it was like we sort of like picked up where we left off. And throughout the rest of my pregnancy, there was no issues at all. She was there for me. She was like, it was literally as if nothing had happened. She was at my house with me and my husband. Her and her husband were at my house all the time.
So basically exactly what you wanted.
What I'd always envisioned our married lives to be like, that's what it became. It was like once we had spoken about everything and everything was kind of aired out, everything that I had thought our married lives would be became that. So she was always there. We were always with each other. We was always supporting each other. And so that's just how it was throughout the whole pregnancy.
Okay. So then you have baby, and then what happens?
The same sort of pattern started to kind of unravel again. I had my son. And I remember she didn't come to the hospital. And I was kind of like, oh, why is she not here? Sort of thing. And then I came home and then she just wasn't really around. I would have thought that she would be the first one to come and see me. She would have been the first one at the house. She just wasn't really there.
Again, was it like flashback from the wedding? Just
a little bit, but I would say again, in hindsight, as time progressed and like looking back on certain things, I started to make the pattern or begin to form a pattern of behavior. Yeah. But at the time, I was genuinely confused. I was just like, where is she? Like, what's going on? Kind of thing. And so I think it got, I don't know exactly how long it had been. It might have been maybe 2 or 3 weeks where she hadn't come to the house and she hadn't come to see me. And it got to the point where my husband was kind of like, nah, this is off key. Like, she's your best friend. Everyone's come to see you and she hasn't come to see you. So I think he took it upon himself to message her and be like, where are you? Like, your friends just had a baby and you haven't come to see her. Where are you? And she was just like, oh, I just wanted to give her time and space. I didn't want to bombard her. But he was just like, that doesn't apply to you. Like, you know how it is when you have a baby, you know, everybody wants to come and see the baby at the same time. And as a new mum, well, not a new mum, because I already had a child, but you get what I mean? You just had a baby. It is overwhelming when everybody wants to come and see the baby at the same time. It's definitely overwhelming. But just like my husband has said at the time, that didn't apply to her.
Yeah, you're exempt.
You're exempt. It was like, you're my bona fide. You're like my best friend. So you're supposed, you should have been the first one there. You should have been at the hospital as soon as I gave birth. I expected to see you. So I was just baffled. So when he took it upon himself to message her and she responded and was just like, I was just giving her time and space. Again, I was thinking in my head, this is strange, but I didn't take it to heart. It was just like, okay, cool. When she's ready, she'll come. And I think at this time, I was actually now at this time aware that she had been having issues with conceiving. So again, in the back of my mind, I was like, I'm not going to take it personally because maybe
it's just too much for her to be.
Yeah.
There.
Do you get what I mean? So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take this personally. I know that she's going, like, she's got her difficulties. When she's ready, she will come.
Yeah.
And so after a couple of weeks, after my husband had spoken to her, she did come. And it's like it was almost like warming up. And then again, it was like that blip was over. And then it was like, okay, back to normal again.
Okay.
So Does that make sense?
Do you feel like she probably needed her own time to process and then she could come and show up for you properly?
Yeah.
Okay, so baby's here. Your friend is like, she's now present. Like, she's had her moment. So what happens next?
Yeah, so my son's here. We had that a bit of a blip where I didn't feel like she was really present for me, but at the same time, I understood the challenges that she had. Yeah. So I didn't take it personally. After a couple of weeks, she did come round and then she started to warm up. And then again, everything kind of went back to normal. So during this time, I remember she had started a YouTube channel at this point. And so she was doing that. And she used to record a lot of content at our house.
Okay.
And then she started wanting to set up a blog, because at that time, blogging was really popular, was really popping.
Yeah.
And she started a blog. And I remember because I was at home with my son, I was like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to start a blog and I'm going to start a YouTube channel as well. Just so I had something to do like creatively, because I would say I'm quite a creative person. I've worked in the fashion industry for years. I just wanted something to do while I was on maternity leave. So while she'd already started her YouTube channel, when I decided to start my blog, she was like, okay, cool. I'm going to start a blog as well. And I was like, well, you've got the blog. You've got the YouTube channel. You can help me start my YouTube channel, because I'd started my blog. It was like, I can help you with your blog. So we were doing that together as well. So time's going on, things are progressing, et cetera, et cetera. And I just started to feel again, just that energy of, it was like, if I was doing anything that seemed to be more successful or taking off faster than hers, then she would start to treat me differently. And so I started to feel the disconnect like very early on. So we're doing this thing together. And at first it was like that same mindset that I've always had, like whatever I'm doing, we're doing it as a unit, like we're doing it together. So there was a lot of excitement. We'll be at each other's houses. So we're doing this together. And then I just felt like if she ever felt like whatever I was doing looked better than hers, she would start treating me differently.
Yeah.
Or if she felt like, oh, what I was doing is like what she wanted to do, then she would copy it. And it would be like, she would start making out like, oh, why are you copying me? It was just really weird, like just really like weird behavior. So again, I'm seeing the patterns and I'm not addressing any of this stuff. It's kind of like I'm mentally making note of these things, but I didn't actually say anything to her. And then a couple of months had gone by and then I ended up finding myself pregnant again.
Okay.
And so I remember, I can't remember how I told her. I don't know if it was by a text or phone call or what. I can't remember exactly how it was I told her. But I remember like it was yesterday, feeling like I'm already feeling the sort of like off-key energy from her towards me with regards to this whole YouTube blogging thing.
Yeah.
And I told my husband, I don't even feel like I can even tell her that we're pregnant again, because I feel like this is going to be, she's not going to take it well, basically. But it's one of those things where, because we were still close, I'm not going to tell her, am I? So I remember telling her I was pregnant and it was like, oh, well, congratulations. And literally, it was almost like she just didn't speak to me again.
Okay, so she stopped speaking to you again?
Completely.
So was it the same thing at church, ignoring you?
Yeah.
So the congratulations, was it like a text or did she just say congrats and then...
Again, I can't remember how the delivery was, whether it was a text message or whether it was a call, but it was almost like, oh, well, congratulations. And that was it. She just literally did not speak to me again.
Wow. I think by then, did you know the writing was on the wall?
Yeah, because I felt it. And I feel like, again, because I kind of called it before it even happened, it was kind of expected, but at the same time, it was still shocking to me because I didn't think it would be like that. I thought, in my mind, I was like, she's not going to take it well. She's probably going to be upset about it. She's probably going to have like temper tantrums and outbursts about it. But again, I was prepared. I was preparing myself with the mindset of, because these are the challenges that she has, I'm going to do my best to support her. But I didn't think for one second that she would literally cut me off. Does that make sense? It's like I was gearing myself up for the backlash of it in regards to how she would respond. But I didn't for one second think that she would completely cut me off.
Wow. So yeah, it seems, so you were kind of expecting, okay, she'll disappear for a bit. And then when she's ready, she'll come back. But this time it was done.
Yeah.
So how did you know it was done? Is it because you knew, okay, I'm not going to reach out again? Or
I think it was a bit of both. I think this time round, the way she had gone about it was a bit more callous than before, in a sense that she literally, as I said, she literally didn't speak to me at all. There had been nothing that had actually transpired, that so nothing had happened. So it was like, I didn't feel like there was any need for me to reach out to her at that point, because I knew that I hadn't done anything to her.
Yeah.
And so it was like, you know what? I'm not going to reach out to her this time. I'm just going to continue kind of doing me, because at this point it was actually really painful now, because again, we're talking about like, at this point, this is like 2017. So we're talking about like about 7 years of friendship now. Wow. It just didn't make sense to me why it was always when something good or something celebratory was happening for me, it was that she couldn't just support me in that. And even my husband was like, no, like this has gone too far now. If she can't support you when, you know, things are going good for us or whatever, you can't, like, I'm not even gonna sort of entertain that sort of friendship. So we just left it.
One of the things that somebody told me when we were talking about friendships is that sometimes we, in our society, we talk a lot about those friends that desert you when, you know, you're low and when you're in the bins and when you're in the pits. But I remember someone saying, no, 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 look at those, look who's around you when you're being celebrated.
Yeah.
And it's true. And unfortunately, some friends do find it hard to be happy for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
And it seems that, you know, your friend, as much as she loved you, maybe she just couldn't be happy for you and she couldn't be around you. Do you get what I mean?
Because
maybe you just represented all the things that she couldn't have at that time.
100%.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that statement in that way. And so again, in the back of my mind, I was sympathetic towards her, but at the same time, I felt like the level of, again, callousness where it came to how she treated me and how she dealt with me, you know, the things that I would hear her say behind my back. With regards to this second pregnancy with my husband, I remember again speaking to like elders or speaking to the pastor's wife, and I heard, you know, she would say things like, I only got pregnant again out of spite towards her.
Wow.
And do you know what's crazy to me is I remember, because we were this close, or we were so close, I remember having a conversation with my husband and actually asking him, I know this is a bit weird, but would you ever consider like me being a surrogate for her?
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, because I know that this is a challenge for her, but because of the relationship that we have, I wouldn't feel any way carrying a child for her if it was to give her that blessing. And he even agreed. Wow. But because of the fact that she had cut us off, or cut me off, so to speak, when I was pregnant the second time, that was something we never spoke to him about.
Wow, because that's actually quite big.
Exactly. So it was never a case of us not fully understanding where they were coming from. We'd had conversations about it, but it was like, for you to have this level of like discardation or disdain when we are celebrating life, or we're having another child, for you to behave that way, it was like I felt like it was necessary for me to take a step back from her because now I was starting to really feel the toxicity of it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you stopped talking, she cuts you off, and was that the end of it? Literally, you just sort of existed in church, didn't speak.
Yeah.
So when did you actually process, this is it, this is a friendship breakup? Like, how was that?
I feel like the story is a lot more long-winded. There were a lot of things that happened like in between, and there were a lot of things that happened after that really knocked me for six in terms of things that she did, the things that she said behind my back, the people that she engaged with. With regards to how they dealt with me as well, because later on, you know, down the line, especially like during my pregnancy, I actually found out that my husband was having an extramarital affair, essentially.
Wow.
And, you know, during this whole process, it became apparent to me, you know, like in hindsight, when all these things have come to the surface, that she almost had a role to play in it.
Wow.
Because she was aware of the female that my husband was involved with, especially because I had actually spoken to her about it when we were still friends, that I had seen, you know, some off-key behaviors between this particular female and my husband. So she was completely aware of it. And when she had decided that she no longer wanted to be friends with me, she befriended that girl or that female as if nothing had happened. And again, these are things that to me are mind-blowing, because regardless of whatever had happened between me and her, because of the level of closeness that we had, regardless of whether we spoke or not, it's almost like friendship code. These are things that I would never do. So for example, if she had spoken to me and said, oh, you know, this particular female is moving some type of way towards my husband, I feel like something's going on here, and then we fell out, I would never then go and befriend someone that she had spoken to me about not feeling comfortable around her husband. Because to me, whether we're talking or not, I know what the situation is. But she befriended that girl like now they were best friends. They were hanging out. And again, this pushed me back even more, because it was just like, what kind of madness is this? So it was almost like at this point, there was no redemption for it. There was no redemption for the friendship at this point. And especially because even in the midst of this, bearing in mind, I just said my husband was having an extramarital affair, his loyalty to me was gone as well. And again, I'm saying this in hindsight. So during this time, or this period where she wasn't speaking to me and she had completely cut me out of her life, she actually continued to have a close friendship with my husband. So they would be talking, they would have text conversations, they would be, you know, kikiing and like having conversations at church and completely isolating me. But again, in hindsight, when all of these things started to unravel, when I realized my husband's in this relationship with this female and all these, it all started to make sense. And it was almost like she was so happy to find comfort and find friendship with people that genuinely didn't like me or didn't respect me or didn't regard me. Does that make sense? So it was like, in hindsight, I realized that essentially I was in friendship with someone who just genuinely didn't like me or didn't love me the way that I loved her. Because the things that she was willing to accept or entertain, especially if it caused me pain, it was almost like she was happy to see it. Does that make sense?
Oh, this is a lot. This is a lot. And as you're saying your story, I'm thinking pivotal moments in your life, wedding, marriage, having a baby. Even now, what you've mentioned about your husband, it's like, it just seems like you had to deal with so much chaos during a time when it's meant to be a happy time, during a time you're meant to celebrate. What impact did that have on you, like looking back?
To be honest, I think it was extremely, extremely traumatic. It was traumatic because even before everything came out with my husband, it was traumatic because I'd lost who I considered to be a sister and a best friend. So I felt like before anything even came out with my husband, I was already grieving a friendship. I was already grieving a sisterhood. And again, because we were in the same church and having to function in the same church, it was something that was always in my face. It was something I couldn't really escape from. She was always around. And so it was like a constant reminder of what was missing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so when everything did come out with regards to my husband and the extramarital affair that he was having, again, with another female in the church, it was like the trauma was compounded because it was like, how is it that the people that I consider to be closest to me were the ones that were dishing out the worst betrayal?
Wow.
Do you get what I mean? And so it was a lot. And people that might be familiar with my story because I've shared it on my own platform would know that I ended up with a lot of health issues because of this. And from being involved in like fashion as a career over the years, and you know, throughout these periods of time, I transitioned into like naturopath and holistic healing because of this issue.
Yeah.
And realizing that a lot of the time, health issues that we have and, you know, health problems that we have actually stem from trauma. When you go through a traumatic situation, you go through traumatic breakups, or you go through even a grieving process. Someone can lose somebody through death, someone that's very close to them. Going through that traumatic experience can trigger health issues in a person. And, you know, my skin broke out all over. I was covered head to toe in eczema. I was diagnosed with a hyperthyroid. I developed fibroids in my womb. I was bleeding from my bowels. Like, there were so many things that were going on with me. And again, in hindsight, having to really comb through my life and start to realize a lot of the things I was going through was because me personally, as a human being, as a person, didn't have adequate enough boundaries.
Okay.
I didn't have boundaries to know whether I was in toxic friendships or in toxic relationships. And I was always, you know, because I was in the church and because I had that sort of Christian mindset towards loving people, I was always trying to hold on to people that intuitively I knew shouldn't be anywhere around me.
Yeah.
But I was constantly trying to hold on to these friendships because in my mind it was like, this is what Christ would do.
Yeah. Wow. This is big, you know, even you speaking about your health issues and stuff like that. So just going back to like, what did you actually do to heal from all of that?
It was a process. It definitely wasn't an overnight process. I would say it's taken me about 3 to 4 years to really process a lot of that hurt and trauma. I had to sit with myself first and accept that, not necessarily blame myself, because I don't think you can control anyone else's behavior, but accept that, you know, these were the red flags that I saw in my friendship that I didn't address. And so if you don't check people or you don't address people with regards to how they deal with you, there's no reason for them to change their behavior. And I had to accept that. So these were the points. So like you mentioned, there were pivotal points in our friendship. So, you know, before the wedding, after the wedding, when it came to like the YouTube channel and the blog, my son being born, all of these different pivotal moments that, you know, I could have addressed it. I didn't, because I was always given the benefit of the doubt. And it was almost the same even in my marriage, where I was ignoring red flags, you know, in our relationship and our marriage, and allowing things to continue in that sense. So I had to really sit with myself and ask myself, what is it that I can do now going forward to make sure that I am not, you know, making allowances for toxic behavior and actually protecting myself from people who seek to harm me?
Yeah.
And then once I'd kind of done that sort of inner work and introspective work, then I had to really start to accept to a certain extent it wasn't me. That was also a very difficult part of it as well, because I feel like when you are in, you know, really toxic situations, whether it's relationships or friendships, there is a level of responsibility that you do take on that doesn't belong to you, and that also adds another layer of trauma. So I had to get to that point where I took the ownership that I needed to take, and then the rest of it I had to accept, no, actually this wasn't me. This wasn't it had nothing to do with me.
Now that you're on the other side, how are you now in friendships? Like, how are you sort of processing friendships and stuff like that now?
Well, I would say definitely I've become more aware of like green flags and red flags in relationships, whether again they're friendships or romantic relationships. I think it's very important to honor your intuition and to really trust when your spirit is telling you that something doesn't feel right. I think that's very important. And again, I feel like in a Christian setting it's very difficult for people to know the difference, because a lot of the time the messaging is that, you know, nobody's perfect and you have to love everybody regardless. So I feel like especially if you're someone of faith, you have to really get to that place where you're able to discern the difference. I think that's very important. But generally speaking, I've just been able to recognize the people that are generally for me and cultivate those friendships and take a step back from those that I feel have the same energy as, say, my best friend, or if I feel a certain way about someone, I kind of just know where to place them. Mm. I don't allow people to come as close to me as, say, my best friend or ex-best friend was as close to me if I feel like that energy isn't reciprocated.
Okay. So whereas before, you know, when you were getting that energy from her before, you sort of just
continued.
Now you're like, look, yeah, I'm just gonna go where I'm wanted, where I feel wanted.
Exactly. And there are other friendships that I had even throughout this whole process of meeting her and being friends with her all this time that I still have till this day. And so it's very clear to me to see the contrast between you know, friendships that I've been able to maintain all throughout that process, friends that were with me throughout my grieving period when I finally did divorce my husband, you know, all of those periods of highs and lows, like you mentioned, whether I'm celebrating, those friends are there, whether I'm grieving, those friends are there. And I've been able to maintain those friendships and also respecting friends that are also able to check me when I'm wrong too. As I'd gone through this process, there were friends that I had that would come to me and be like, you know what, there were times when I felt like, you know, during your wedding that you did this and I didn't appreciate it, or, you know, you did go a bit off key, and they were able to speak to me and I've accept that our friendship continues. Do you get what I mean? I feel like if you're in a friendship or a relationship with someone, the best indicator of that friendship being real or being genuine is being able to reciprocate love and forgiveness. And so if you're in a relationship or friendship with someone and you can express where you've been hurt or where you've been wronged by the other person and they accept it and can change that behavior, that's the mark of a true friendship.
Definitely. No more eggshell friendships where you're just tiptoeing around each other. I feel like it's better to have that communication, even if it means the friendship has to stop because you can't come to a common ground, rather than tiptoeing. And then when the friendship breaks up, you look back and you're like, I don't know why. Like, even in your case, you know, you're like, actually, you can go as far back as before the wedding and realize, you know, things weren't right.
Even at the beginning,
yeah.
You ignore all of those things and you continue to cultivate that friendship deep down, knowing that the foundation is not right.
Okay, last question. So what advice would you give to somebody who is in right now in a similar situation that you were in?
First of all, I would say I sympathize because it is difficult, especially when you've invested so many years into a particular friendship. But I would say take a step back and maybe make a note and start to really almost like replay like different situations and scenarios throughout that friendship where you felt either dejected, rejected, or you felt like the situation became extremely toxic. I feel like once you're able to really have that introspection time and you take your emotions out of it, then you can see the friendship for what it actually is. So I think it's very important to understand that friendships are, they're supposed to be like reciprocal. So whatever you're investing, you should feel like you're getting that investment back. If you can look over, you know, whatever you've written with regards to your friendship and you can see there's like gaping holes with regards to, you're not getting the same investment that you're putting into the friendship, or you feel like, you know, you can definitely pinpoint areas where, you know, you're going through celebratory periods and that friend isn't, you know, isn't supportive, isn't celebrating you in that way. They don't really encourage you in that way. Then I would say, take your emotions and your feelings out of it and really start to discern what it actually is and call it out for what it is. Once you accept it, then you're able to almost either have a conversation with that person and sort of end the friendship amicably, or you can just take the step back that you need and kind of like position them in a place where, okay, if this person is really close to you, this is my best friend. Now, maybe you just have to be an associate. I'm not going to give you my heart anymore. I'm not going to give you my wounds anymore, because really and truly that's protection for you.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean? So I think once you've done that introspective work and you've discerned what the friendship is and you've put it in its rightful place, now you're protecting yourself. And I think that's extremely important, because the reality is, regardless of whether you address it now, it's going to blow up later. And that's where a lot of people's trauma comes from.
Yeah.
It's really realizing that, you know, I saw this here, and I didn't do anything about it. And now you have to deal with the extra time that you feel you invested when you knew that you didn't need to do that anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, y'all, for coming on here. I feel like, honestly, because I feel like a lot of people go through that in friendship. And I know a lot of people will resonate with your story of, like you said, like not even you mentioned that you didn't even have boundaries. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And mm-hmm. because of your Christian faith at the time, it was just like, look, if I just keep loving and giving yep. as Christ loved, yep. and then comes that realization that, look, there's some people that I just cannot be in a relationship with, even if they are Christian or even if yeah. they are, do you yeah. get what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks so much for sharing your story.
You're so welcome.
I just want you to just talk about quickly, just let everybody know where they can find you. You know, you mentioned about your healing journey and stuff yeah, like that. Yeah. So just tell us about your YouTube channel, okay. just the things that you do.
So yeah, so as I said, throughout this whole process of my personal journey of healing and trauma, I do share a lot of information and, you know, some of the things that I've learned with regards to healing the body, healing the mind, healing the spirit on my Instagram, which is s.kintuition, and my YouTube channel, which is under the same name. And so you can find me on YouTube or Instagram, and by all means, you can send me a DM or you can send me an email, and I'm happy to facilitate anyone or help anyone that's going through a similar situation.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming to the Unfriended podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been lovely. Thank you.
Thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Unfriended podcast. I hope you found Yar's story valuable. If you do like this podcast, if you are enjoying these episodes, please show us some love by liking, commenting, and subscribing to the channel. Also, if you do have a friendship dilemma that you would like featured on the podcast, please send your dilemma to theunfriended.pod@gmail.com. And for more friendship breakup content, you can follow me on Instagram at love_MissDaisy or at theunfriended.pod. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.